Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
What an amazing song. Holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. We serve an incredible God. Let's just lift our voices again. Lord Jesus, you are holy. You are worthy, God. And we just want to come before you and declare your goodness, God. You are good. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Isn't God good? Isn't it great to be in church tonight? Hey, Christmas, so exciting. You can take your seats for a moment. Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you, Neva, that was so special. Really amazing. Really is wonderful. Well, it's a huge privilege for me to be able to share God's word with you this evening. There's obviously a very special time for us in the Christian calendar, the announcement of Jesus coming into the world, the birth of our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. It changed the trajectory, not just of Mary and her life, but it changed the trajectory of human history. God came down. He came down to rescue us, to deliver us, to set us on the right path, to give us a much better future. And so tonight I'm going to be sharing a little bit of the story from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. And we have been looking at this over the last 2 weeks. And last week I wasn't here. My family and I were in the Cedarburg for a week of camping. It was incredible. We got back last night. Dion shared a phenomenal message. I'm so grateful for technology because on Sunday I was able to listen to the message, able to watch it. It's just a brilliant, brilliant message on the peace of God. Dion, thank you so much. It's really great. But last night as a family, we were driving back. Obviously, had an incredible time in the Cedarburg. The Cedarburg is beautiful, spectacular mountains. Often when you're in God's creation in the mountains, you must feel closer to God. I don't know, that's how I feel anyway. And as we're driving back, we came over from the N2, entering, just driving into Mossel Bay and to see the ocean again. And Marinita said, we live here. We live here. We are so blessed. And if you're visiting, we live here. How blessed are we? But welcome. Really great to have you for visiting. But listen, South Africa is an incredible country. We've got so many amazing places with incredible, incredible people. Before we jump into God's word, let's just pray and ask God just to speak to us. Lord, we want to thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And as we gather around your word this evening, we pray that you would speak to us, Lord. We don't just want to get information, God, but we do want to change. We want to encounter you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start reading from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 8. What has happened at this point in time in the story, Mary and Joseph have traveled to Bethlehem to give birth in Bethlehem because a census was needed. In other words, they had to count the entire population of Israel, and the census was given. And so they had to go there because that was where Joseph's family came from. And when they arrived there, there was no place for Mary. There was no place for Jesus to come into this world. And so they ended up putting Mary and Joseph with all the animals. And often think about that, no place for Jesus. Let's make sure that we're not like that place, that we have place for Jesus in our lives. And then these angels come and they announce to the shepherds. The shepherds are out in the field and they announce to the shepherds the coming of Jesus. And this is what it says, verse 8. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. And the angels declare, glory to God in the highest, and on the and on earth peace to those in whom his favor rests. There's not a general statement about peace. This is a declaration. Peace has come. It's come down to earth. But it's not for the whole earth. It's only for some people. It's only for those on whom his favor rests. Think of that. The coming of the Messiah. God coming down. But the blessing of that is only for those on whom his favor rests. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those people. Okay, how do I get that? What do I need to do? His favor. His favor. The angels are not announcing peace everywhere, but they are announcing peace somewhere. And it talks about how peace comes and rests in certain places. That word rest is a beautiful word as well. We live in a world where we seem to be striving for things, wanting things. But here there's this beautiful picture of peace and rest and favor. And it comes to rest on certain people. That his peace would come and rest upon us. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. God's favor is not random. God's favor is not random. It doesn't just happen anywhere. It comes where Jesus is, where Jesus is. One thing we learn from scriptures is that God's favor is relational. God is peace. Jesus is peace. And when he's in us and with us, we have his peace. And it comes with us. And his peace rests on whom his favor rests. So the word peace, or sorry, the word favor is this very interesting Greek word, eudokia. And it's translated favor sometimes, and sometimes it's translated as this word, to be pleased with something. It's almost like God would have your favor where he's pleased with something. So where his pleasure is, that's where his favor would be. It's like almost like he's pleased with you. And if he's pleased with you, then you would experience his favor. So his mind is on you. He's smiling upon you. He's smiling upon us. I grew up in Cape Town in Tableview, and when I went into ministry, I spent a few months in Somerset West. And I had friends in Paul. And so one day, I didn't have a car, I had a bicycle, so I thought it would be a good idea to cycle from Somerset West, if you know Cape Town at all, to cycle from Somerset West to Paul. And so I wasn't very fit at the time, but I thought it was a great idea. I got on my bicycle, started riding. And it ran really, really quickly. And I arrived in Paul in like a record time. I felt great when I got there. It was amazing. I saw my friends, had coffee, had lunch. They said, do you want us to give me a guest to give you a lift home? I'm like, no, I got this. But what I didn't realize is that the Southeaster had picked up. And if you've ever cycled in Cape Town or with the wind at all, on the way there, I had the wind at my back, and so it was awesome. But on the way back, I was cycling into the wind. There were these gentle uphills that seemed like massive mountains to me. I remember actually getting off my bike so embarrassed and walking up this gentle slope because I had nothing left. Why? Because I was cycling into the wind. That's what our life can be like. We can feel like we're cycling into the wind, or we can have his favor on us and feel like we're cycling with the wind. And when you're cycling with the wind, man, it doesn't matter how big that mountain is. When you got the Southeast at your back, it's like, come on, bring it on. You feel great. So it's like an e-bike on steroids. And I think that's what favor is like. God's favor resting on us. To take pleasure in us, that God would smile upon us. And so when we think about his peace and his favor, where does it come from? How do we get that? One thing we learn from scripture is that it comes from relationship with him, but it also comes from when we align ourselves with him. See, when I was going with the wind, I felt the wind behind me. But when I was going into the wind, it became a different ballgame. I had to almost align. If you want to cycle with the wind, you've got to align. You've got to go in the right direction. If you're going in the wrong direction, it's just going to be tough. And I think a lot of times our walk with the Lord is similar. Like, we want God's favor on us, but you've got to align yourself with God. You've got to be going in the right direction. You've got to be pushing in the right direction. So the question we want to ask if we want God's favor in our life is, am I moving in the right direction? Am I aligning my life with God and with his purposes, with what he wants to do on earth? Am I loving what he loves? Is what is important to him important to me? Because if that's so, if I'm moving in the right direction and I'm going to experience his favor, why? Because he's going to smile on me. He's going to be pleased with me because I'm going to be aligned up with him. So we're here to celebrate Christmas and this incredible promise of peace and favor and his grace and his mercy that would be available to you and I. And it's available to everybody. But it's up to us to choose the direction that we're going to go in. And if we choose to align ourselves with him and go in his direction, we're going to experience his grace and his favor in our lives. That's the first thing. The second thing is what we need to do is we need to invite him in. We cannot experience peace, God's peace, while we're keeping God at a distance. Sometimes what we can fall into the trap of trying to live our lives to please God, but we want to keep God at a distance. We don't want to take this Christianity thing too seriously. Now, God is a personal God, and he wants to have a personal experiential relationship with us. We need to invite him in. In order to have his peace that comes from proximity, to be close to him, to be with him, to develop a healthy, close, real relationship with him. And God wants us to experience that. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, there's this word, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, this word comes up, favor comes up again, but this time it's translated pleases, when God is pleased with us. And so I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2 from verse 12 to verse 14. It says this. It says, "Dear friends, you always follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing." He's writing that from prison, by the way. Just sort of throw that in there. Do everything without complaining and arguing from prison. He's giving instructions to people that are not in prison. Often think about that. But yeah, he talks about, hey, he says, I've given you instructions from God. These are instructions. This is how you need to live your life. You need to take those instructions and do your best. Work at this. So don't just relax. Work at this to make sure that you're doing your best to obey the instructions. Take this seriously because your salvation is at stake. And then he says, but God is going to work in you to help you to work out this out and actually to work in you to help you to do and to live in a way that actually brings his favor on you. And then he says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Do everything without complaining or arguing. So that's where that word pleases comes in. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him, to do what brings his favor. So when we talk about proximity, we actually can invite Jesus into our lives. And that's actually the first step. If you've never done that, there's going to be an opportunity a little bit later on where you can invite Jesus in. So you don't have to just know God from a distance. You actually, God, come and live inside of me. And when we invite him in, he comes, his Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us and starts working inside of us to help us to live this life that will bring his favor upon our lives. In other words, God says, hey, you don't have to do this by yourself. I will give you the desire. I will give you the strength. I will give you everything you need to live a life that will bring my favor upon you. What a promise. That's pretty awesome, eh? But you need to take this seriously. You need to do what you need to do. So I was thinking about it, and I thought about how it says in the beginning, it says, I've given you instructions, take it seriously, God will work in you, but do it without complaining. In other words, we need to obey God with a great attitude. Obey God with a great attitude. Oh, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. Oh, God, thank you so much I get to sacrifice for you. God, thank you so much that I get to say no to that and say yes to this. Do it with a great attitude. Sometimes we're doing things that we don't really want to do. It's like, oh, I have to do this again. We're packing up the tent. If you go camping, I don't know about you, the best part of camping often is not packing up the tent. Agreed? Who loves packing up the tent? You just like, it's your favorite part. Not because you want to go home, because you just want to pack up the tent. No, it's hot. It's in the Cedarburg. It's 40 degrees. Pack up the tent. Fortunately, I got two sons. They have matured. And so they had a great attitude. Got memories of the past where that wasn't always the case. Granted, do everything without complaining and arguing and grumbling. Actually do it great. Do serve God, the instructions that God gives, not just the ones we want, but even the ones we don't like, even the ones that we disagree with, especially the ones that we disagree with. It's alignment. It's not our will, it's His will. It's not my mind, it's His mind. It's not my instructions, it's His instructions. I do it His way and not my way. That comes to everything about my life. I line my life up with Him. And I do it with a great attitude. And then I experience His grace and His joy as He works in me to help me to live this life. The peace of God. Jesus rests, His peace rests where He is welcomed. His peace rests. His favor is where hearts are surrendered to Him. You've got to surrender to Him. God, I surrender my will to yours. And when we obey Him with a great attitude. So this Christmas, as we think about what He's come to offer us, what He came in the world to give us, God's peace, where His favor would rest, the question we have to ask ourselves, or you have to ask yourself, is His favor on me? Am I experiencing His peace? If not, then maybe we need to change maybe some things that we're thinking about. Maybe some attitudes, some directions. That doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. Remember, the guy that wrote that particular passage in Philippians, the Apostle Paul, a great name, by the way, just thinking of you. We want to have a chance. The Apostle Paul's becoming popular lately. I'm not sure why. The Apostle Paul, he writes this while he's in prison. And he's writing and he's talking about, hey, doing this with a great attitude. That doesn't mean that every life is going to be perfect. We can have God's peace even in difficult times. Supernatural peace, even when it seems like our world might be falling apart, God's peace is there. His strength is there. Amazing. That's what God wants for us. In the uphills and the downhills, to have His favor upon us, the wind at our backs. God's peace is something that we invite Him. So I'm gonna ask you, would you stand with me to your feet? Let's take a moment just to respond. Like we said, what we have to do, it comes from, the first step is to experience God's peace, is to invite Him into our lives. God's peace comes from proximity to Him. It's relational. When we have a close relationship with the Lord, say, God, come into my life. Come and live inside of me. Come and fill me with your Spirit. God, I want to experience you. God, I want to know you personally. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe this tonight could be the night where you invite Him in. And then once you do that, the next step is to align your life and your priorities with Him, to make sure you're pushing yourself in the right direction, that you stop cycling in the wrong direction, but you actually follow the wind of God and the purposes of God and align your life with His purposes. Even when it's difficult, you say, God, I'm going to live my life your way. Your priorities are going to be my priorities. your way is not my ways, and I submit my life to you, and then we experience his joy and his peace. So let's come before God. Let's close our eyes right now. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you came to die on the cross for us, Lord, to make a way. You came to announce that peace is possible for all of us. And right now, I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. Help us to maybe make some adjustments in our life. Maybe there's things in our life that are not in line with you, and we've been trying to do it our own way. But God, I pray that you would forgive us, and that this evening, Lord, we'd come and readjust our lives to you. While we're in this attitude of prayer, maybe you're here and you know that you've never invited God in, or maybe you did a long time ago, but to be honest, you've backslidden, you're not following God right now. And you want to make a fresh commitment to invite God into your life, invite him into your world, and to surrender your life to him, to give your life to him. And if that's you this evening, I'd love to ask you to join me, because I'd love to pray with you. A very simple prayer. And so while everybody's eyes are closed and heads bowed, if that's you, could you just quickly raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with? Well done, well done. Best decision you can ever make. Well done. You can put your hands down. All those that raise your hands, if you could repeat this prayer after me, with the rest of the congregation, pray as well. Pray along as well. Say this: Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Tonight, I surrender to you. I give my life to you. Come and live inside of me and change me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.